Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Boys here, serving up grim Halloween goodness with canned fava beans and a B-plus Chianti. I am Peter O'Donoghue, substituting my views with memories, and I am joined by...
Ethan Palmer. And doing nothing with my memories, other than appreciating them for what they are.
I'm James Miller, and I'm doing a whole lot with my memories.
nice dude.
Feeling them, squeezing them, tweaking them.
So... couple little, little housekeeping things to take care of first. This is going to be one of our last warnings here. We are doing a live panel at Meltdown Montreal, which is a bar on Saint-Denis Street, on October 24th, 2021. It starts at 4 in the afternoon Eastern time. If anybody like can and wants to show up and meet us and see the panel and see some of the people that I work with at Squared Idea, which is my comic publisher, please do. Everyone is welcome. It's just you need proof of vaccination. That is the only caveat. So, you know, I'm... boo-hoo, I suppose.
Get facts.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it. October 24th, 2021, we're doing our live show. And then the other live show we're doing is November 6th. We are doing Extra Life. We are going to be raising money for Enfant Soleil, which is a children's charity here in Quebec. I'm going to be playing The Surge 2. As far as I know, Deck 13 told me that he was going to, or that they were going to give us some game keys to give away. So we're going to have a little contest. I'm going to figure out how to set that up and give away a couple of free copies of the game, as far as I'm aware. And then Ethan and Jamie are going to be playing some other stuff. I think we said Hollow Knight Randomizer, and Jamie's going to do a variety show and that sort of thing.
Speed run getting banned on Club Penguin. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Nice, dude. So that's going to be November 6th, twitch.tv/theloreboys. If you want to tune in, please donate. It's a very, very good cause. Sick kids are the worst, and we need to get rid of them, as far as I'm concerned. And then finally, we've had a fairly less spooky Halloween than we did last year. But for this one, I will put up a content warning. I'm going to be covering some real life crime and some grim fictional crime here in this one. So if you're not into gore and kidnapping and I suppose and some sexual assault stuff, tune out now and maybe catch up with some older episodes or wait for our next one or just come to the live show where we're not going to be covering any of that sort of stuff. But just so you're aware, today we'll be covering Thomas Harris's character Hannibal Lecter. And all the fun stuff that comes with that.
And so, now that
not into it.
Now that all those other people left, we're left with all the people who love sexual assault and love murder, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's gonna get a little blue. Yeah. I gotta say, I loved when Hannibal crossed the Alps with all those elephants and sacked Rome. That was pretty mint for me.
I have something in here coming up soon, actually, in regards to the Carthaginian warlord. So don't you worry.
Okay. I was worried.
Specifically today, we're going to be covering Red Dragon and the Silence of the Lambs. This is kind of a pseudo request from our patron Oakrest, and he was backed up by Toodles over on Discord, loreboys.com/about. Mm-hmm. I, of course, say pseudo request because I was just like, boy, howdy, I'd love to do Hannibal one day. And the guys were like, yeah, do it, which is kind of like a dictator winning 99% of the votes.
Yeah.
it's just like, yeah, whatever. So it counts. And it's a patron request too, baby. Thanks, Oakrest.
Yeah, thanks, Oakrest. So
as far as the non-Carthaginian general, what do you guys, I guess starting with Ethan, know about Hannibal Lecter? Have you seen the movies? Have you read the books?
I've seen Silence of the Lambs. That's it.
Okay.
Which is ostensibly about Buffalo Bill. But I think Anthony Hopkins' performance of Hannibal Lecter in the movie was what made him, like, everyone, when you think of Silence of the Lambs, you think of, anyway, you think of, like you said, fava beans with the side of Chianti or whatever, and the sucking noise that he makes when he's in the hand truck stretcher or whatever. and yeah, but that's about it. Like the movie, the one movie, not Red Dragon. Was that a movie as well? I knew it was like a sequel in the books, but I didn't know if the first movie had ever come out or.
I saw
I'll let Jamie clarify before, and then I'll tell you the order everything came out in.
I saw two movies. One was for sure Silence of the Lambs, but I saw one that was also more focused on Hannibal Lecter and him, like, I think he escapes or something, but I can't remember which one it was.
He escapes in the movie in Silence of the Lambs.
Okay, that's in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
I definitely saw two movies of him. It's the whole trick with the elevator and switching clothes and stuff. Is that Silence of the Lambs?
Yes.
Oh wait, there's a show too, right, where he's a kid and he's living with his mom in Texas. It's called Young Hannibal, right?
yeah.
okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. Oh. Okay, yeah, because I was worried I was thinking of Young Sheldon for a second, but no.
No.
Yeah,
that's not a thing. It's where we get the Bazinga skin
suit. yeah. Like,
sewed into the flesh of a woman.
I feel like I've seen two movies, but I cannot for the life remember what Red Dragon's about. But I watched two movies on Netflix that both had Mr. Hannibal in it, Anthony Hopkins.
Red Dragon is the name of the casino in Rush Hour 2. Is that related, Peter?
Yeah, so Jackie Chan plays Clarice Starling, if you guys recall, in Silence of the Lambs.
Right? That's right.
It's like a common, it's like the, what's that, like Bernstein Bears effect?
Yeah, it's the Manchurian effect.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, a lot of us believe that Jodie Foster played Clarice Starling when in reality it was just a Chinese man.
I think that's it's a different obviously effect name. I can't remember the name of the effect, but I don't think it's Manchurian.
The Mandela effect.
Mandela. That's it.
I was thinking Manchurian Candidate.
Yes, which is a different movie that we're not covering right now.
Okay. Is Denzel Washington in Silence of the Lambs?
The Mandela effect is most people would believe that Jodie Foster played Clarice Starling, but it was actually
it was actually Denzel Washington playing Jackie Chan.
Playing
Clarice Starling. Gotcha. Wow.
Yeah. It's a real method. He was like two methods deep into playing Clarice Starling.
And the crazy part, Anthony Hopkins saw through all the layers too, and he was able to predict everything, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, his performance was so powerful that you don't remember who played Clarice.
Yeah. So just a quick tangent here about the Carthaginian general. A friend of mine once had about $20 and 20 minutes to get a Halloween costume ready. So this is very relevant. I don't know if I've told this story before. He had $20 to get a Halloween costume ready for a party I was having in my first apartment. And he ended up at the dollar store, and he got himself an elephant trunk, a Roman helmet, a bullet belt, and a red cape. And when he showed up at the party, one of my other buddies was just like, "Oh, are you supposed to be Hannibal?" As though his costume was like some kind of like referential collage of like the idea of Hannibal who was crossing the Alps.
So wait, I don't get that part. Hannibal was a war leader that crossed the Alps first.
Yeah, so
Carthage is in Tunisia, which is in like North Africa. So his army incorporated elephants into it, like war elephants, basically. And he at some point ended up on continental Europe with his army and marched his army with the elephants like through the Alps. And then sacked Rome.
They were like, if the armies ever come, they won't come through the mountains to the north. They'll sail their ships and land their ships on Italy's shores. But he like landed his ships in Spain and then like walked through the Alps with like elephants in tow, which is the really crazy part. Like,
that is crazy. Real world. Yeah. That's Earth lore. Poggers.
Earth lore. that's Earth lore in game. In game.
In game. Yeah, of course. So, the fictional Hannibal, the Hannibal Lecter, was created by Thomas Harris. Thomas Harris was born in Jackson, Tennessee, in 1940. Interestingly enough, he is not the main character in most of the stories. He's generally like a mentor or a secondary character. Like, he is the secondary character played by Denzel Washington and Jackie Chan in The Silence of the Lambs, right?
Wait, I thought Anthony Hopkins played... I thought Denzel Washington played Jackie Chan, played Clarice.
I'm losing the plot, too. Don't worry about it. It was actually Silence of the Lambs, okay, if you recall, is actually a one-man show starring only Jackie Chan.
Only Jackie Chan, played by Denzel Washington.
Exactly. It's on Broadway. It's still on Broadway. It's the second longest running show after Cats.
Oh, did Andrew Lloyd Webber play Joseph Terrence and wrote Silence of the Lambs?
Yes.
Okay.
Did he do Cats too? I know he did Silence.
Andrew Lloyd Webber did Cats.
Did Cats. Yeah.
He did the opera one too.
Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom of the Opera, yeah.
He wrote a lot of musicals, Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, I actually have a little aside here about the Phantom of the Opera later on in the episode. I didn't know we would bring this up as big dumb idiots making fun of something that we don't know anything about. Anyway, Thomas Harris, like I said, he was born in Tennessee. And so Hannibal is not the main character generally in the stories. He's a mentor or a secondary character, but as far as Red Dragon and Silence of the Lambs goes, he is a secondary lead, and in some cases, I suppose, like a secondary antagonist, even anti-hero, sort of, I guess, because he is, like, revered. People do like him, so.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, anti-hero maybe works. Yeah.
He's helpful. He does help catch other murderers. So
yeah.
He's already in jail.
There's a prison guard who, like, takes away his crayons and stuff and, like, kind of seems like the real dick, even though... Anthony Hopkins.
Make you sympathize with like a psychopathic serial killer.
Yeah, yeah. That's Dr. Chilton. He's not a prison guard. He is the head of the psychiatric hospital.
Same difference.
We'll get into it. Yeah, exactly. It's the equivalent, basically.
Dr. Chilton got no chill, right?
Nah, man. I won't be covering much of Hannibal Rising, which is like the official origin story of Hannibal Lecter. It was written...
It's the young Hannibal show I was thinking of.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically as good as young Sheldon probably is. I don't fucking know.
Okay. It's a weird frame of reference.
It was written as a prequel, like, in 2006, so, like, 30 years after the main series, and it was kind of done in conjunction with Hollywood, because the producers of Hannibal Rising basically just, like, called Mr. Harris, and they were just like, hey, man, we're gonna make a prequel to Hannibal, with or without you. And he was like, okay, I'll write a book, and I'll write the screenplay. So he did both of them, basically under that kind of pressure, where... Hollywood was either going to fuck it up completely or under a time crunch, like, not get so fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So regarding the author, and this is really important for, like, some of the inspiration for these characters here. Harris started out as a journalist, and while working for a magazine called The Argosy in the 60s, he interviewed a prisoner named, allegedly named, Dykes Askew Simmons, who was in...
Okay, Peter, I'm gonna need you to read that name back to me one more time. I heard something crazy, let me tell you.
Oh yeah. Let me clarify. Whatever you heard was not completely insane. The real answer is Dykes Askew Simmons.
the boy with his finger in the Dykes Askew Simmons.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a movie just called Hannibal too that came after Silence of the Lambs. It's a sequel.
That is also the sequel novel to Silence of the Lambs.
Okay, I might have seen that one.
Red Dragon. You definitely did. If he's an escaped prisoner at this point, yeah. You definitely did. It is Red Dragon, Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal are the order that the main trilogy go in, and then the prequel is Hannibal Rising, which is also the fourth novel. But that's all there is. There's four and four.
Cool. Yeah.
Anyway, back to Mr. Dykes Simmons here. Dykes Askew Simmons.
Dykes Askew.
And that's three names. Like, his alleged middle name is Askew. He was in the psychiatric ward of Nuevo León State Prison in Monterrey, Mexico. And I'm glad we called out his ridiculous name, because even when I was taking down notes, I was just like, that's got to be a pseudonym. He did not. There's no fucking way.
That's his pen name, yeah.
Yeah.
His real name is Stephen King. He just writes as Dykes Askew.
Yeah, exactly.
Prolific. fanfic, okay?
Yeah, Stephen King is a huge fan of Thomas Harris, actually. He had a bunch of stuff that he had written about, like, because they were kind of coming up together.
Pretty contemporary,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, Red Dragon, which was Thomas Harris's first, the first novel that Thomas Harris wrote was called Black Sunday, and it was about, like, a terrorist attack during a football game. That was in the 70s, but Red Dragon came out in 1981, so they were very much...
Yeah.
But, you know, like parallel writers who respected each other.
Cool.
So Simmons is not unimportant. Simmons had a bunch of facial scarring from like fights and whatnot, but he had a birth defect. He had that cleft lip that had been fixed where he was born, where his palate was like in kind of like a V shape. That leaves like a little facial scar when the doctors fix it so you can breathe properly, so you get your palate out of your sinuses.
Yep.
The cleft lip would eventually actually manifest in one of Harris's novels. As well as some of the crimes that Simmons had committed.
How does it manifest in the novel? Do you have to do like a surgery on the novel to be able to open it the first time, or?
Yes.
The first page is in kind of a V shape, and you can't.
You have
it,
to unfold. You have to unfold the novel. It's it's like a napkin at a fancy restaurant.
Right. Yeah, it's an origami. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like a cootie catcher, the little foldy thing. Yeah.
Made one of those in a while.
If you're listening and have something in front of you, make a cootie catcher right now and write down your wishes in it, and then play that game.
We'll find out soon enough in the Discord if that's the same language that is used in other regions, or if that's just what we grew up calling it. It's like a little fortune teller thing. It's like has four corners you can put your fingers in, and you open it up with numbers, and it folds out. And anyways, let us know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. let us know what the folded paper little like bird mouth thing is that you did like riddles with on the playground. Simmons, during one of his escape attempts, had been shot by a guard, and he was treated by a man who Harris referred to as Dr. Salazar. In 1963, Harris interviewed Dr. Salazar about Simmons's victims, and Salazar had stated that he had murdered a good-looking young family who were nice people. And when Harris agreed that it was a good-looking family, Salazar asked if he thought that provoked Simmons in some way, remembering, of course, that Simmons was both disfigured from birth and scarred from other things that had happened in his life.
You ever just go out and see a hot family and be like, man, dude, I just want to get rid of that.
Fucking angry.
That family's so hot.
Boy, I'm gonna take that dike, turn it askew to cool them off in some of this water. You know what I mean?
Dikes askew Simmons, baby. It does sound like if you had like a if you were like the I don't know, like the bassist for a hair metal band, could also be like Dikes askew Simmons.
Yeah, Dikes askew. Yeah,
easily, like in Rat or something like that. So Salazar was described as a lithe man with dark red hair. He stood very still, and there was like a certain elegance about him. He was very polite and well put together and that sort of thing.
Okay.
While leaving the prison after the interview, a guard asked if Harris knew who Salazar was beforehand. And when he said no, he just assumed he was like the prison doctor. He was told that the man he was chatting with was a murderer who could fit his victims into a surprisingly small box.
Jesus.
Yeah. So he had been interviewing a murderer who would like dismember his victims the whole time without any like foreknowledge of the fact that this man was actually incarcerated in the same prison.
I thought you meant he went after contortionists or something, but he's cutting them up to fit them in the box.
He wasn't
like a coach for a contortionist team.
Yeah, yeah. Okay? The limberest gymnast suffers from rigor mortis too, right?
Yeah, that, exactly. Say that 10 times. The limberest gymnast suffers from rigor mortis.
The limberest gymnast.
Cirque du Soleil was illegal in Mexico up until the 60s, so that's why he was in jail.
I wish it still was, honestly. I'm guessing Salazar is going to be the inspiration, because it sounds a lot like Hannibal Lecter now. Right, like the Dykes Askew fella sounds more not Ted Bundy, a Buffalo Bill, whereas Salazar sounds very Hannibal Lecter, polite, professional, you know.
So Mr. Simmons is going to be the inspiration for the killer in Red Dragon more than he is for Buffalo Bill. We will get into that.
But Peter, I haven't seen Red Dragon. I don't have any context for it, and nobody's told me what it's about yet.
That's okay. I'm going to spoil the fuck out of it, so don't worry. Not to worry. Right. So he had mutilated his victims in such a way that they could like fit into a surprisingly small box. I suppose like one of those fancy mattresses that like people sell these days.
I got one on Wednesday. I got a new mattress fitting into a tiny box. Yeah, I was amazed. I was like, they gave me a double. And then I unfolded it. I was like, oh, it's growing. It's like one of those sponge dinosaurs you put in a glass of water overnight.
Oh, yeah. So you have to put your, do you have to put your mattress in a kiddie pool so it expands?
Exactly, yeah.
You put it on the frame.
throw it in the bathtub.
I had one of those, like one of those dinosaurs that blew up or whatever. I was trying to get my mom's attention, and she's on the phone. She's wearing sweatpants. And I just went up behind her. No, I put it in the back of her sweatpants while she was on the phone.
Got her.
She was so surprised, and she's like, what the fuck is this kind of thing? And we shared a good laugh about it. She had a good sense of humor about it. Not every parent would enjoy
that. No. Jamie and his slimy dino. Huh? That was the actual title of the novel that inspired Jurassic Park.
Yeah. I started talking to Anthony Hopkins about it. Now he's saying, like, that's why I'm putting slimy dinos in every woman's pants that I'm interested in. It was my relationship with my mother. But, yeah.
I had a glow in the dark sponge octopus, and you would encase it in like a sunken ship shell, and as it grew, it would like bust out of the ship.
So that's cool.
Busting makes you feel good.
Busting makes me feel good. My glow in the dark octopus made me feel real good, especially the back of my sweatpants.
Christ.
Dr. Salazar's true identity would never be revealed. However, he is assumed to be Alfredo Bali Trevino. Trevino was the last criminal to be given the death sentence in Mexico back in 1959. And he had been convicted of murdering his friend and lover, Jesus Castillo Rangel, and then dismembering him and packaging him in a surprisingly small box, as we've established, like a mattress or a spongy octopus, I guess.
Yeah. I'm just picturing, like, I don't know why, but when I thought surprisingly small box, I thought of a Jack in the Box, and that's just the most horrific Jack in the Box, right?
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
A prank on it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god. Just somebody's spleen pops out. Like,
oh my god. Pop goes the evil.
Yeah. Pop goes the pancreas.
Oh, god. Ew. So the murder of the kind of lover and friend here is a crime that will reappear in Harris's work that we'll cover later on. He was also suspected of killing and mutilating several hitchhikers from the 50s and 60s. And I love this kind of like silly trope through real life. Like hitchhikers are like the Costco free sample for serial killers.
No kidding, man.
Like that's just like, it's like, oh, I'm like, oh yeah, I want to make it big in Hollywood. And the guy who picks you up just like kills you and makes a t-shirt out of you.
Yeah, I've got all these bodies in my cart that I'm bringing already or in my trunk, but I really can't help but eat some on the way, you know? Like,
yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, the police keep finding greasy toothpicks in the crime scene, just like, oh.
The greasy toothpick killer. But, you know, I mean, there's also the trope of, like, cops chewing on a toothpick, so now I'm just picturing one finding it at a crime scene covered in gore and, like, sticking it in his mouth, right?
In his mouth.
That'd be a good transition for whenever Hannibal leaves the toothpick behind and then it shows the cop scene afterwards and he's got one in his mouth and it makes you feel all gross on the inside. When we film our movie, we'll be ready.
Yeah, when we do our adaptation.
Yeah. The Lore Boys movie is going to be spicy.
Yeah. It's going to make no fucking sense at all.
Yeah. Chris Pratt's playing Peter, so.
Yeah.
Look forward to that.
Yeah. No, Pete's not Greek anymore. He's normal now.
Very topical, yeah.
That is one of the best fucking things I've ever read in my life. I'm fairly confident it's real. I don't know.
What did he say again?
It was because he's not going to do like a woohoo, like Mario voice the Mario role. He's like, no, he's not Italian anymore. He's normal now. And I'm like, that's so fucking funny, especially after like the governor of New York who got like indicted or whatever, for sexual assault. It was just like, no, I'm not creepy. I'm just Italian.
I'm Italian. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just like,
fucking hell.
So fucking hell. Hey, Bambino, you're having a rough time. It'll pass. This too shall pass.
Meanwhile, we could have had the voice of Parthenax playing Mario. You know what I mean? Just doesn't make any sense.
I know. It doesn't make any sense at all. I hate it.
Is he still around, though? I feel like he might have passed away or something.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he's alive.
Oh, yeah.
Voice of Mario.
Pull up the clip.
I'm trying. I wrote voice of Marie, and it gave me Maya Sakamoto.
Cool. I don't think that's right. That's not a very Italian sounding name.
Charles Martinet.
Charles Martinet. That's it. Yeah,
that's the name. Dead. No, he's not.
Yeah, there you go.
Not dead, still active, as a matter of fact. He's only 66. Wow. Come on, Jamie.
Jeez.
You went to GalaxyCon in 2020 in the height of COVID.
Dog. He's unstoppable.
Wow.
So back to the alleged inspiration for Dr. Salazar. Trevino's sentence was actually commuted, and he got out of jail in the 80s, despite having mutilated and packaged up his lover. And after that, he, for some fucking reason, continued to work as a physician until he died in 2009.
Yikes. Yeah. That's a big yikes for me, man. That's...
Yeah.
That doesn't sit well.
No. Well, he was put on death row in Mexico, and they were just like, well, we don't really do the death penalty anymore. You can not only get out of prison, you can have your old job back.
Yeah, like your law, your medicine license.
Yeah, which is fucking insane.
I mean, yeah, maybe doctors in Mexico in the 60s weren't upheld to such rigorous standards as law practicing licenses.
No say, dude.
But
yeah, I have no
idea. I'm normally very gung-ho for a prostate exam. I gotta admit, if it was this guy, I'm not sure I'd be so keen.
I had a Mexican doctor inspect my derriere because I got real sick when I was over there, and they went and
it was the amoebas.
Yeah, I saw a butt guy, and he figured it out for me real quick.
Saw a butt guy. I see a butt guy every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Trevino died in 2009, and I know you saw your butt guy like 2.5 years ago, so it was not the same guy. I don't know if that doctor had killed his lover, obviously.
Yeah, there's no way to know.
Yeah, yeah. Allegedly, just for your doctor's lawyers.
The Latins, man. Hot blood. Just like the Italians. Wahoo.
An author named Charlotte Grieg, in her novel Evil Serial Killers, stated that Hannibal was also inspired by Albert Fish, who was a serial killer and cannibal from the U.S. who was executed in 1936 via electric chair.
Oh my god, he was this fucking is one of those things, crazy, that guy.
Gonna say, like, I was looking up Albert Fish for the first time today. This is one of the few things that I deliberately left out. Don't look up Albert Fish.
That guy deserved
to be executed.
That's so weird because I'd not heard about this guy. Then I heard a Norm Macdonald joke about him. And on a podcast that this guy came in just to be like, the whole thing, it's like he's like the sad guy on the podcast. And he just started saying all these facts about Albert Fish. And now we talked about him today. Albert Fish has like entered my psyche three times this week.
Yeah.
Should podcasts have a sad guy? Do we need a sad guy on this podcast?
We do, eh?
It's on your mom's house, a guy named Josh Potter. He's losing his vision over time, and he's like short and hairy all over. And he's really, really funny, but his joke was kind of like to go so the other way of comedy that you kind of have to laugh. But,
It's Debbie Downer from SNL.
Yeah.
Right?
He's not always like that, but that bit was really polarizing for a lot of people.
I didn't put in as much stuff as I normally would here that would make a lot of sense. I left out of a lot of Albert Fish stuff. He's a fucked up guy. I'm glad he's gone, and he definitely deserved the chair, man.
really
one of the things here that doesn't really make any sense, like, I don't really understand it's Charlotte Grieg's connection here, because like there's very little in common other than the fact they're just both cannibals. Fish was blue collar and like kind of like a weak old man. He's not sophisticated. And then also like a pervert, whereas Hannibal is high class and Hannibal himself does not do any sex crime.
And he has like a weird set of like rules, you know, he wouldn't kill you during a meeting because he feels it would be rude and stuff like that.
Anthony Hopkins, I didn't put this in, but I read it today. Anthony Hopkins had described Hannibal as like the Robin Hood of serial killers, where he kills people who are terminally rude.
Right.
So if you're polite and like of the, you know, upper crust behavior, you're safe from Hannibal's hunger, I suppose.
That That, Peter, this feels problematic to me. I'm not going to lie. I think Hannibal Lecter would be canceled in 2021. For determining who's rude, I don't know. That's a weird bar to set, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess he would be an old man since he's written in the 80s, so he would absolutely not know how to use Twitter properly and would probably be dumb enough to use Twitter in the first place. Anthony Hopkins, on the other hand,
amazing,
has like a very wholesome, Twitter. He just like plays piano with his cats or
plays
something.
Plays piano and sings, and then he has that one where he's just like making insane faces at the camera. Like he does like a line of 15 seconds of him just making crazy faces at the camera.
Yeah, I love him.
Like his rudeness is like really, like what he considers rude. It could be someone doing something actually rude, or it could just be you're a prison guard who's tried to feed you and like keep you alive all this time, but you're the one like standing between him and freedom. Is that rude too, I guess, working for law?
Unclear if I would refer to as a prison guard as trying to keep you alive because he's feeding you.
Well, yeah. What's he doing that's exactly rude though? He's doing his job.
Again, prison guard as the bar for morality, also a weird bar to set. You know what
Very
I mean? Like, that's weird all of a sudden. I'm sure they're like, some of them are like down to earth, working class people, but it's like a weird system that you're working in, right?
Yeah, so. I could probably clear that bar in my sleep, frankly. I don't know. I don't think that's particularly high.
I mean, that's kind of the point that I was trying to make as well, that like, hey, you know, an Alabama person in the 1960s would have weird rules for what is rude, right?
Yeah.
Certain people talking to a white woman might be considered rude for no good reason.
Yeah, you know? don't shake anyone's hand in public, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't do it. No. So the first novel to feature Hannibal Lecter was Red Dragon, published in 1981. And when the novel begins, it's set in 1975, and Hannibal is a fancy-schmancy, like, forensic psychologist and a member of high society. So this is very much like kind of the Dr. Salazar thing coming in.
Yeah.
He is interviewed by FBI profiler Will Graham to gather information on one of his patients who had been violently murdered by the Chesapeake Ripper. Okay. He's
the
a
Chesapeake,
murderer.
See, this is your mistake, Pete. It's the Chesapeake River. There's a river called the Chesapeake River.
Oh, okay.
You've misunderstood.
Go back on Audacity and just cut this part out.
It's much smaller than the river. It's more of a dike, I would say.
That's a skew. That's where it stops.
Right.
So yes, he had been violently murdered by the Chesapeake Ripper. River. he's a murderer who, well, it was assumed to be a man, a murderer who kills people and extracts their tenderest cuts of meat. So there is a section on a chicken called the oyster. It's like a soft section of the back. They have a conversation about that, as well as like spleens, livers, tongues, cheeks on your face, like the good parts of the person.
Can I jump, just if somebody's like wondering about my reactions to this movie, like I hate gore, like slasher films. I hate, like, I love books, and you're talking about these, I'm like, these are books that I'll never read. That's why when you're like, I'm gonna spoil them, I'm like, that's fine.
You don't even like Mortal Kombat. It's like too much.
Yeah, it's too much. It's like, why don't you play a good clean fighting game like Street Fighter? Like, come on. We gotta rip a man's oyster out, you know.
Where my head was at is like, if I absolutely had to eat a person, I never could or would want to, but if I absolutely had to, what part would I choose? And I'm really not sure. The fingernails.
I've eaten some parts of a man before, if you know what I mean.
Hey, baby.
the big clit, if you will.
Oh, wait, that was a sound check.
That doesn't
that
make
was
any
a
sense.
Sound check thing.
Yeah, no. Get
our sound check. We're all talk about clits and tornadoes, and we're having a blast.
Yeah, exactly.
clits and tornadoes and median obesity rates in the United States of America.
Yeah, there is something. Yeah, there's a lot of obesity in the tornado areas. Actually,
I wonder if it's related. There's a correlation.
Yeah.
Causation. It's impossible to tell.
You're harder to blow away, frankly.
Did you see? You guys are safer.
Okay, so less tornadoes are reported in California because all the people who would report it get blown away. So
they're
it's
vegans,
it seems like the obesity rates are lower because they don't report the tornadoes.
It's or
the
smart. Tornado
rates are lower.
Yeah. Did you guys see smart of the tornadoes part? Like what?
Did you guys see that thing I posted with Pornhub released like all their top categories in every area?
Yeah.
And there's
yeah,
like Finland or whatever.
I think it was Sweden or maybe I can't remember, but one of the countries, like the nuclear fallout from
Chernobyl.
From Chernobyl. Pretty much exactly matched where hentai was popular.
Hentai was the most popular. Yeah, the heat, the radioactive heat map correlated to hentai liking.
That's it. Yeah, the radioactive isotopes make you like 2D woman. I think is that how.
Yeah,
but, I think so.
Yeah,
yeah. Gives you taste. I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the atom gives you culture.
Do you think Hannibal Lecter would like hentai, or would he think hentai's rude?
I think if he'd probably like the artists, because you know, classical music kind of guy. Like if you got like a very refined artist who was doing hentai, he'd probably be into it.
I'm just picturing like Hannibal Lecter like drinking wine and sitting there like on the TV in his prison cell, just like. Some image like over the shoulder shot of a guy just drawing like huge anime titties.
Right? Yeah,
it's just like he's in his cell, just like yes.
It's
yes,
like all the bras. All the women just have like super unnatural proportions, like they do in hentai, but and they're completely naked, but also little bow ties, so they're refined, you know.
Yeah,
oh, very nice and refined.
Well, I'm just thinking of like the modification of the first scene where Clarice meets him. Where she's like, did you draw all these from memory, doctor? And she's like, memory, Clarice, is what I have instead of a view. And instead of like a scene in Florence, Italy, it's just like big titty anime woman.
Big titty anime woman.
Whenever that person, that Sonic fan artist got popular, there was one of those videos where you're coming around the corner and it's playing the thing for Green Hill Zone.
Chris Chan.
And it's just Hannibal Lecter with all his like Sonic fan art all around him.
Amazing.
The medallion. So coming back here, we're still talking about Hannibal, it's fine. Yeah. Coming back here, so Will Graham's first case was catching and killing the Minnesota Shrike, who targeted college-age women, which is very much the Ted Bundy thing that you had mentioned earlier. He was called the Shrike. A shrike is a species of small carnivorous bird that stores prey items by impaling them on spikes, whether that's like a thorny
metal
bush.
Shell.
It's an enemy in Dauntless, like, too. It's like this giant owl-looking bird that hits wind attacks at you.
A shrike is a real bird. It's I looked up like pictures of it. It'll like catch a shrew or a mouse or a bug or something or a lizard. There's one where it just like is perched on barbed wire and it has impaled a lizard on one of the barbs on the wire, and that's where it stores its food.
I'm looking at that exact picture right now. Damn,
it's fucked
dude.
Up. Yeah.
Metal as hell.
Yeah.
It's super annoying to fight in Dauntless, too. It's got a lot of wood.
Oh, yeah, that's worse.
Yeah.
Peter, or Jamie, a little field mouse lost its life. Would you show some respect, goddammit?
I had to use all my consumes, dude. It was crazy.
So while in Hannibal's office, Will sees an old 15th century medical poster called The Wound Man, which while you're on Google, I would love for you to pull up because it is hilarious.
The Wound Man, you say?
Wound Man, yeah. The Wound Man is a poster that was originally published in 1491 in Europe, and it is just a bored-looking medieval peasant who is just like riddled with arrows and swords.
Dude's having a bad day, I will say.
It's part of like a medical textbook from the 1490s where it basically just has like a picture of one guy covered in swords, just like stabbed all to hell. And every single one has like an Adobe PDF, like sticky note to tell you like this is what a sword does here. And this is what a arrow does here and sort of shit like that.
I love the idea of it not having any of those notes, just having one like, if you see a patient like this, he probably needs immediate medical attention.
This guy needs 40 leashes.
He's got two different nipples. He's got like a nut and bolt right through his stomach. Or is that a sword? No, that is a sword.
He's got like grape shot in the thigh.
Yeah.
His hand's falling off. He's taken a cannonball to the other wrist.
He's like, got the face of that guy from The Mask named Rocky or whatever. Like, it's all different shapes and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Elephant Man.
Yeah, not as big of a chin, actually. But
Rocky Dennis.
Yeah, Rocky Dennis.
Yeah. I like the idea that that was that that's like the chart that you would go, like your doctor would just have that chart up on the wall. But anyway, Will notices this in Hannibal Lecter's office and then makes the connection that the his former patient had been murdered in a very similar way, in that Dr. Lecter's patient that he was investigating and talking about had been murdered in a similar fashion to the wound man.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So he'd been murdered in the fashion of, we'll start from the top. It looks like oyster to the dome,
yep.
club to the forehead, stiletto to the eyebrow, knife to the cheek, hammer to the shoulder, scimitar to the other shoulder, arrow to the tricep, club to the elbow, sword to the rib or heart. We got a spear through the forearm. What is that? A conch shell? I'm not sure what that is. His right arm.
Cannibal. Some of it's very unclear. Yeah. It like at one point it looks like he's got like a jellyfish on his arm or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I meant by the conch shell.
Oh.
Yeah,
and he's stepping on a dried crow's foot. Look at that thing down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, crow's foot. That's what I was thinking. Also taking a cannibal to the leg. He's got, like I said, grape shot or scabies on his thigh. I'm not sure. I do like that they did dress him in a little thong, though.
I was thinking the same.
For the medical textbook, it's good that you don't see his pee.
And they threw a couple pubes in there, so we know it's a full-grown man, so we don't have to feel as bad for him.
He looks, but he's 1,000 years old.
He threw some pubes in there. Yeah. Like, when you put pubes on, it's just like safe to masturbate to, and you're like, oh, thank God. he notices similarities between the brutal murder of Lecter's erstwhile patient and the wound man, and then he's just like, oh my god, Dr. Lecter must be the culprit. Lecter, knowing that he had been had at this point, stabs Will in the stomach with a linoleum knife, which I had to look up. It's like a thick, hooked blade that you use to like separate material. So like linoleum floor tiles or wood paneling or something like that. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will even stab somebody with this. It's more of a slashing weapon.
It's like a hook. Yeah, exactly. Mm. In the film Red Dragon, he stabs him with like a letter opener.
Okay.
Yeah.
More poetic, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also like available in the office. Also, Anthony Hopkins has like this like gnarly ass like Steven Seagal ponytail at the beginning of that movie for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Oh,
can we please do Lore of Steven Seagal one day? Because there is
That would actually be very good.
Do it.
Yeah.
Whenever you want, Jamie. It's fucking it's spooky season and we got time between now and the Christmas special. Like whenever you've got the time, baby.
Episode 200 with no fake lore, only Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal.
And it's a 7-hour episode.
Yeah. So Will obviously survives the attack, and Hannibal is arrested for the attempted murder. However, he is put in the Baltimore State Hospital for the criminally insane instead of a prison. This is where we meet Dr. Chilton, Dr. Francis Chilton, who is described as both pompous and incompetent. He is the guy you've been talking about this whole time, Jamie, as the warden. He is impompous. Exactly. Yeah. This guy's dykes are completely askew. couldn't stop water. Couldn't stop a river if he tried.
Is that like a real saying, or is this just something that we just keep saying over and over again?
No, I think he's made it up like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's just that's crazy, man.
Dykes Askew Simmons, dude. Apparently a real, alleged real person.
The guy's Dykes Askew, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I mean, it'll be the new bag of Sprite in the Discord in 3 weeks. So Dr. Francis Chilton is the warden you've been talking about. Hannibal is not in prison. He is in a psychiatric hospital for the criminally insane because he pled insanity and got out of jail, where they now keep him in like a plexiglass tank instead of a cage, which is better, I guess, because he's crazy.
Yeah, because bars are not good for crazy person, but plexiglass, he's so crazy he doesn't realize he's in a box, because he doesn't, it's not like you don't see the wall, right? Like you can see right through it.
Yeah,
he's kind of like a bird, he just thinks that it's open. So it's good for the brain, helps him recover.
Exactly. I like, just throw a blanket over it and he thinks it's nighttime, he just
goes to sleep.
I like the look of that other guy you mentioned too, Alfredo Bali Trevino or whatever. I just took a picture of him, put him in the boys
chat.
Oh my
god. No, okay, so I mean, it's a very cheaper, it is a very I mean, it says the killer doctor who inspired the character Hannibal Lecter, but I don't know if it's like a stock photo that somebody decided to use in no taste at all. But it's kind of like a very shaggy guy with a very thick goatee, given like a hearty thumbs up with a big smile over like a stock blue background. Like
it
he
is
says,
impossible
photo
to
day
him
school.
Because Dr. Trevino was like incarcerated in the 50s.
It looks like he just got his school photo taken with that background, though, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it really does. Yeah. It looks like he's the gym teacher or the music teacher at like an elementary school, and he showed up for photo day like that.
So, 5 years after the incident with arresting Hannibal Lecter, Will had retired from the FBI, but he was begged by his boss, Jack Crawford, to assist with the so-called Tooth Fairy murders. The Tooth Fairy had murdered two seemingly random families during sequential full moons. First, the Jacobies in Birmingham, Alabama, and then the Leeds in Atlanta, Georgia. Little evidence was left behind, so Will realizes he has to consult the guy who tried to gut him, Dr. Hannibal Lecter, for help.
Little evidence left behind, so they didn't have many leads.
You like walk into the crime scene, it's like, do we have any leads? There's five, they're all dead. Okay, well, you've clearly misunderstood what I've asked you.
What do you think, Will? Not a tooth out of place. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Are we sure this is the fairy's work?
Yeah, the tooth fairy thing is strange. It's really because he appears at night to kill people, like while people are sleeping, is kind of why the name is set up that way. Early in the novel,
okay, that's a leap.
Yeah,
that's a leap.
It is. Yeah, it's like, it could be Santa Claus, for Christ's sake. Like any like magical thing that shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
He also leaves a dollar bill under the dead bodies, so that's kind of where it comes from too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh well, I guess that does make sense. Yeah. Yeah. Early in the novel, this is in Red Dragon. The Tooth Fairy is revealed to be a man named Francis Dollarhide. He is a home video film editor for the Gateway Corporation in Missouri.
Dollarhide? We just said he hid a dollar under the bodies. That's perfect.
I know.
Oh, my God. Jay, the prophet.
Wow.
Again. He's a film editor for the Gateway Corporation in Missouri. He was abused as a child by his grandmother, both physically and sexually, and eventually became obsessed with the William Blake painting, The Great Red Dragon and the Woman Clothed in Sun.
I've seen this movie. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Where he's up in the attic hanging out looking at that painting and stuff. And
He's described as being in very good shape, able to clean and press 300 pounds, wow, which would mean a lot to the people in our fitness channel on Discord. I had to look whatever the fuck that meant, and that's when you like put the barbell up on your chest and then you lift it over your head and then you put it down. That's clean and press.
Yep.
I mean, this Great Red Dragon has like
great butt cheeks.
Great cheeks. Let's say it.
He's got the tattoo of it too, doesn't he? If I remember right.
Yes. Yeah.
Guy, but yeah, the dragon's got a donk.
The dragon's caked up.
Yeah. Feed a family of four with that ass.
Red dragon's caked up. There's your episode title.
Yeah. Someone who's DMing a campaign, include a red dragon, which is like a beautiful ass in their heart. That's the final boss.
Yeah. When the lore boys. DM adventure or D&D adventure book comes out, it'll include a caked up red dragon.
Good. Dollarhide believes he is believes he is possessed by the red dragon from the painting, and his victims he believes that they are changed and reborn. William Blake, the guy who painted the original watercolor, was an English painter and poet, and he is also the guy who V from Devil May Cry 5 is obsessed with, so that's a little callback to one of our older episodes. And I figure we'll continue on with this new episode after the break.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back, everybody. So Dollarhide in the novel has a cleft lip, just like Dykes-Askew Simmons did, and also murders entire families. So, like, Harris had taken this guy, this first guy he had interviewed in the Mexican prison, and just copy-paste straight into Red Dragon.
Okay, so, sorry, we just went to break. I had to get up and fill up a glass of water. Our dear listeners had to listen to tissue commercials for 30 seconds, because we're premier tissue podcast on iTunes. Could you remind me who this person who's supposed to be Dykes-Askew Simmons is again?
Francis Dollarhide. He is the video editor from Missouri who is the villain that he is being tracked down in Red Dragon. He is the man who is obsessed with the Tooth Fairy. Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. he has a cleft lip, just like Simmons did, like I said, and murders entire families. His history of being sexually abused is pretty similar to Albert Fish, who we mentioned earlier, because Fish was also sexually abused when he was like sent to like a Catholic orphanage at some point in the early 1900s. But so like Dollarhide has more in common with Albert Fish than Hannibal does. So as far as like Charlotte Griggs, like inspiration, I think she's off the mark on who Fish inspired within like Harris's work, but he's definitely relevant. At least in this context here.
Albert Fish, I won't bring up any of his like brutal murders or anything like that, but he was so obsessed with like harming himself, I guess, because of all the pain he was going through on the inside, that he had like, it looked like a hairbrush with a longer stem, and instead of where the hair bristles would be, it was nails, and he would get his friends to spank him with it, nails into his own ass, just to, oh god, for his jollies.
Like the albino in the Da Vinci Code, Silas.
Yeah.
pretty sure he did that. Pretty sure he had Tom Hanks spank him in that movie. Or maybe I downloaded a bad version. I'm not sure.
I think that's right. I think we watched the same version. I'm pretty sure Tom Hanks spanks an albino in that film.
He spanked as Dan Brown.
Dollarhide in the novel eventually falls in love with one of his colleagues, who is a blind woman named Reba. In the film, this doesn't make as much sense as it does in the novels, because it's been adapted twice. There's a film called Manhunter, and there's also, which is from like 1985, and then there's Red Dragon, which is the one that I've seen. Dollarhide is never truly set up to be like the Phantom of the Opera monster that he is alleged to be. So the fact that the only woman he is comfortable being loved by is blind doesn't really make any fucking sense, because he has like a scar that goes from like his lip to his nostril in both films.
But he's like
that thing where he's like, he's horrific for Hollywood, right? Like, yeah, oh, exactly. Oh my god, you have a 1-inch scar on your face, like, oh, hideous.
Yeah, Rocky Dennis. Yep.
Yeah,
like it doesn't make any sense in the movies, because it's they basically just like drew a line on a regular actor's face.
That's it, yeah.
And there's
Dolph Lundgren with like a small line going from his nose to his lips. Like, oh my god, I can't look at him.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Devil. So that's kind of the problem there. But anyway, it's both in the novel and in the film Red Dragon. He falls in love with his blind colleague. The Red Dragon personality that he believes has like possessed his body insists that he has to kill Reba, like that she must be like changed and reborn in the same way that these like families had been changed and reborn. And he refuses because he says that she is good, and he doesn't give into the second personality that lives inside of him. Breaks into the Brooklyn Museum and steals the original William Blake painting and rips it up and eats it to like kind of kill the dragon, I suppose.
Oh yeah. Or internalize the dragon.
Or yeah.
Does he eat the part of the painting that is the woman clothed in sun? Because I would assume that that's Reba, right? Like, if he's looking at the painting, he's like, I'm the dragon, she's the woman clothed in sun.
So it's a quick scene. He eats the entire thing. I don't know if he, like, portioned it out.
Does he use a fork and a knife?
He eats the cakes for dessert. I know that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I didn't even notice the woman because I was looking at that dragon's hot ass this whole time.
The fucking Roman phalanx rear guard over here. Oh my God. Baby.
Throughout the story of Red Dragon, Hannibal uses his like psychiatric expertise to assist Will Graham with figuring out like how he feels and what's going on, and also like figure out who the Tooth Fairy is. Will is also constantly hounded by a tabloid reporter named Freddie Lowndes, who is working for like the hilariously named National Tattler.
I mean, yeah.
It's just a rag.
Yeah, basically. It's supposed to tell you it's tabloid, right?
Yeah, exactly. He does an interview at some point with Freddie Lowndes and suggests that Dolarhyde is both inbred and an impotent homosexual. And that's why he murders happy families. As a result of this interview, Freddie Lowndes is eventually kidnapped by Dolarhyde, tortured, and then burned alive. Unless you're the NBC TV producers, because the show Hannibal does have Freddie Lowndes in it, but they recast Freddie as a woman and did not have the balls to kill her off the show. So in that show, they killed off Dr. Chilton and burned him alive, which doesn't make any sense as a prequel, basically splitting the timeline and giving two, like, they have their own Lore Boys canon of Hannibal for TV, and then then they have their regular canon of, like, films and books.
Because we're NBC, we're woke, we won't burn a woman alive, you know, we'll only burn men alive.
Yeah, exactly.
The burning thing alive, dude, the brass bull, like, this evil tyrant ordered that it made, threw the artist into it. Like, the artist, like, was like, the king's like, hey, show me how this brass bull works. And, like, you light a fire underneath it, and the screams of the human makes it sound like the bull. And but also the tyrant who threw the artist into it also died to it. So there was some poetic justice there. But,
well, good.
Yeah. Herulaus of Athens invented and proposed it to Phalaris, the tyrant of Acragus. Excuse me. Had a stroke reading that. So actually the artist came up with it, proposed it to the king, and then the king was like, yeah, this whips, dude, but pretty fucked up that you thought of it, so you should probably burn too.
But I'm still gonna use it on other people, and then eventually die to it myself.
I mean, if you burn the guy who invented it, you can absolve yourself of guilt, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like a crazy man made this, and don't worry, we took care of him.
As long as you eat the brass bowl when you're done with it, then you can absolve yourself or whatever.
Then it's ethical.
Yeah.
I eat all pieces of the brass bowl.
Ancient Greeks, yeah, exactly, used every part of the brass bowl. but yeah, so the NBC show splits the timeline with the killing of Francis Chilton, because Francis Chilton is like the main rival to Hannibal Lecter. And killing him off instead of Freddy kind of removes conflict from the rest of the story once he's thrown in jail, right? Because then you just have to like write in and replace an existing character with a new one because you killed off the old one.
This is Dr. Tilchin.
Yeah, exactly.
He's from upstate.
Francis Bilton. He's been in Baltimore this whole time. So they, like, I guess the NBC created Lore Boys canon before we ever did. As it happens, the reason so little evidence was left behind is because Dolarhyde had memorized the layouts of the homes he broke into whilst editing their home movie films. So, this is the period, this is the pre-digital period, because, of course, this book was published in 1981, where you had to get film developed. There's a Robin Williams movie about this as well, one hour photo. Or something. He became obsessed with different attractive families that he was developing film for and would, you know, using the footage that he had constant access to, memorize the layout of the house so he knew exactly how to get in, how to get out, where everyone slept, who everybody was, what they looked like, and how to get in and out.
makes for some good scenes for the movie too, because you get that dark red scary room while he's developing film. And,
So that's only for photographs. You don't develop film like movie film in that way.
Oh, how do you do it?
I don't know, but in the movie, he works just in a dark room. He's like a cutter, so he has access to the film. He has like this little like razor blade thing that cuts the strip.
Right.
Because, you know, like movie film is on a reel.
Yeah.
And he's got the film over this little like board that has like a tiny little like paper cutter that cuts.
Oh. Yeah. So like whenever
the cutting room floor, that's where that expression comes from.
Okay, that makes sense. It's just like
Tyler Durden splicing in penises into movies.
Yes. Precisely. Yeah. Yes. One frame out of 24 frames in a second.
That's cool.
Oh, Pete, can you not watch movies? 24 frames a second. That's less than 60.
They're garbage.
Unwatchable. Yeah, unwatchable.
Red Dragon is literally unplayable.
I'll only pay for a movie if it's on Steam. Like,
yeah. Pete, there's free movies on EGS every month.
I have only ever watched, the only movies I've seen are documentaries about Dota 2 players, okay? I have never played Dota 2, but I know a lot of Korean guys, and they're my favorite actors this whole time. figuring this out, the FBI, so figuring out that like this is how Dollar High did, or the Tooth Fairy had gotten into these homes, Will Graham and the FBI moved to arrest Dollar Hyde at his home. However, he had already set fire to it with Reba, his girlfriend, the blind woman, inside, in an apparent suicide pact that she had not been told about.
Right. Sure, yeah. You only need one side to agree to a pact, to make a pact.
That's true.
As long as one side is in accord, then it's a pact.
Especially if it's a murder-suicide. It's really just one signature on the gun is fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, like, the deed was in his name, so burning down the house and the suicide pact, that would also have to be signed off by him, so you didn't really need the other party.
It'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. I didn't consent to this!
believing Dollar Hyde was dead, Will returns home to his... So, Reba's fine, by the way. She survives the burning home. Believing Dollar Hyde was dead, Will returns home to his wife and kids, only to find that Hannibal had somehow sent Dollar Hyde his address, and that the burned body inside Dollar Hyde's home was just like a decoy murder. Basically.
Classic.
He had a spare corpse just kicking around.
Homer Simpson throwing a dummy of himself over the falls to get out of garbage for work.
Costco hors d'oeuvre. They knew because it still had a toothpick in it.
Yeah, the toothpick didn't burn. In the novel, it's Reba's ex-boyfriend. In the film, I don't know who it is. It's just some decoy corpse.
Sure. A hitchhiker.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Or just like a Costco sample, like JB was saying. It was definitely just like a big section of a hot dog sitting on a couch. Burnt alive.
Just a guy in a hot dog suit.
Oscar Mayer himself.
They confront each other. Dollar Hyde gets into Will Graham's home. They confront each other. Will is non-lethally stabbed in the face. And his wife shoots and kills Francis Dollar Hyde.
Nice.
Hannibal obviously remains incarcerated in Maryland in the psychiatric hospital. And then we can now move on to The Silence of the Lambs, which, as I said earlier, is easily one of my favorite films. This one has a little, much less kind of like pretext to it that you would need because it's a much smaller film, I suppose, like cast-wise and smaller novel as well. In the story, Jack Crawford, who is the FBI director, once again sends one of his agents to consult Hannibal Lecter to gain his insight on a series of murders that he just can't sort out, basically. He's like, I know a guy, and he's in a box, so I tend to use him pretty as often as I can. I know where he is, I know his schedule.
The FBI chief has like a big corkboard up, and he's got all these pictures of faces on it. And he's got Santa Claus, and he's got the Easter Bunny, and he's got the Tooth Fairy, obviously X'd out with a big X, because we know Dollar Hyde is dead. But he's just trying to figure out who the hell did these dang murders, you know what I mean? We know it wasn't the Tooth Fairy. Tooth Fairy's gone. Yeah. Tooth Fairy's not even real anymore, okay, in a sense. But
yeah. Molly Graham shot him.
Do we think it's a turkey in a pilgrim buckle hat? I don't know, okay? just don't know.
Well, it's like that's the red dragon. It's like the Thanksgiving turkey with big ass feet.
Yeah, just like it's the when you do it in kindergarten, you like trace your hand, yeah. And then it's just like big cheeks over a woman clothed in.
You know? Pete, I hope you like drawing butts because I think you might be drawing a turkey.
I've got to figure it out at some point. I know you got to get that like little like angled triangle gleam to show how smooth and shiny the whole thing is.
Yeah, perfectly round bubble butt turkey.
Somebody write that down. I'm gonna forget. So this time, instead of sending like a professional, Jack Crawford is kind of out of options. He's just like, I mean, who can I send to interview this guy who eats people? What about a student? I think that would be great.
Yes.
This time he sends FBI trainee Clarice Starling, also a bird, less spiky, I guess, opposed to the Shrike,
mm-hmm.
to meet with and grill Dr. Lecter about a series of murdered women. So at this point in the novel, it had been six women.
Shouldn't say grill, because in the context of the story, like, actual bodies probably have been grilled, but...
Yeah. No, he's a high-class fella. Barbecue is much more for, like, us, the blue-collar gentlemen.
Yeah,
no, I don't think Dr. Lecter is... Exactly. Yeah.
Well, he does saute the brain, right? Like, he's got it sauteing next to the guy
in Hannibal, yeah.
In Silence of the Lambs, but yeah.
No, not in Silence of the Lambs. In Hannibal is when he sautes that guy's brain and feeds it to him because he's in prison in Silence of the Lambs the entire time.
There you go. I've seen it once, and it was extremely hungover at Jamie's university with him and his roommates. So it was the only time I watched it, and I think for half of the movie, I think I had my headphones in and I was listening to music. So.
Yeah,
we were so crusty; it was unbelievable.
You that night before, like I lived in a kind of like a half basement as I do now, and Ethan tried to get. No, different place with the girls. And he was trying to come into my window, into my room. And he went to step in my desk and completely missed the desk, fell head first on what basically is a cement floor with like half an inch of carpet on it.
No, yeah, not half an inch. Not an inch, like a 16th of an inch of carpet. The cheapest elementary school carpet you can imagine was what he had on his floor in this one section. And I just smashed my head on it.
Like, yeah.
Oh my God. So I was definitely concussed the next day. But.
The next morning we had a big old cuddle puddle and we watched Murder on the TV, so that was fun.
I remember we were watching it, and again, I don't like these kinds of movies, but like I'm a guest in this house, I'm not gonna say anything. So at one point I like take my headphones out and put them in, and your roommate was like, right, are you not watching it? Like, are you just like listening to music? And I was like, yeah, I don't want to watch this. she was just so offended that I wasn't watching the movie. She's like, why aren't you watching the movie? I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like way too hungover for this. He's like talking about killing people. There's a guy making lampshades out of skin. Like, I'm uncomfortable. Okay.
Yeah.
I hit my head real hard.
Oh my fucking God. I love like teasing new stories about your guys' fucking escapades out of you completely by accident. It's just wilding out the whole time. Oh my God. Anyway, Jack Crawford sent Clarice Starling to meet with Dr. Lecter in regards to a series of murdered women. The media, the fake news, had dubbed the murderer in this context Buffalo Bill, since he liked to, quote, skin his humps. I don't know what that means in regards to the real, like, Bill Cody, the actual Buffalo Bill, the American soldier, mailman, and entertainer. No idea. He was a famous man from the Old West. Apparently, this is like a cultural thing that I just could not figure out as a Canadian. I had no idea what the fuck that meant.
I'm sure it's like buffalo hunting, right? Like, buffalo hunting was a big thing, and buffaloes have humps, so you skin the hump, right?
I think it's something with chicken wings.
Farm boy, that makes sense, but
something to do with chicken wings and buffalo sauce, I think.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I'm not sure. Because there's skin on chicken wings. I don't know. There's something there.
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. Ethan sounds totally right.
Lore Boys Canon.
Lore Boys Canon? Yep. It's because buffaloes have humps. Not like as many as...
Or
not,
a dromedary.
Not as many as a camel. Yeah, dromedary.
No, as many as a dromedary.
Is this two? Yeah, no, okay. Two humps is a camel?
One hump, or two humps is a camel, one hump is a dromedary.
Okay.
Okay. I think dromedary is technically a type of camel. Yeah. If you want to get
and three humps is a night with James.
Hey, yeah. Just ignore the growths on my leg, please.
And the clam on my shoulder and the scimitar through my neck. And, yeah.
Jamie, that should just be like your display on like your display picture on Tinder is just the wound man. It just says. Please fix me.
Yeah. Do you like this club, baby? It's going to come back to play later. Hmm? What about this cannonball shattering my tibia? Hmm?
This gaping wrist wound.
God. So Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs was harvesting pieces of skin and flesh from his victims during an autopsy that Clarice had to like sit in on. This is a scene in the film as well. Because it's like FBI homework, I guess, to like watch an autopsy or something like that. They discovered a moth cocoon in the throat of a victim that they had dredged out of a lake.
Right.
In the novel, it was originally identified as a black witch moth. While in the film, it is found out to be a death's head hawk moth, like right away by like some burger-loving nerds at the Smithsonian that she takes it to. I don't really understand the difference between these things. I Googled both of them. They're both just these gigantic brown moths. Like, they're bigger than a bird.
They're both big moths. I think Death's Head is probably the name of the moth, right? They were like, this sounds spookier.
Yes, the Death's Head hawk moth has it's a bit of a stretch, kind of a pattern on its back, like between its wings that looks like a skull.
I don't think so it's that much of a stretch.
It's kind of spoopy. I looked at the Wikipedia page. It's basically just like a white patch with two dots on it.
It also like acts as something that's just like rare enough that you won't find it in every place, right? So they can like locate where the killer's from because that's the only place you can find those moths.
That is exactly right because the Death's Head moths are considered to be fairly exotic, so they could kind of narrow down what is going on.
Oh, I see the skull.
In the novel, Hannibal reminisces about a patient he once had after speaking to Clarice, who had taken a gay lover and then killed him. However, in the film, he directs her to a storage facility where he has the man's head preserved in a jar. This man is Benjamin Raspail, I suppose would be how you pronounce that. And his ex-lover was James Gum, who is a tailor and a leather worker.
I guess you could say he's pretty raspy after getting his head cut off. Huh?
Yeah. Sore throat, yeah. That bird, or not that bird, the moth that has the skull on it, the skull kind of looks like Birdo from Mario. It's got like a long thing and a snoot on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this kind of brings it back to what I had told you guys earlier in the episode. The murdered and mutilated gay lover gives a lot of credence to the theory that Dr. Salazar from Mexico was absolutely Alfredo Bally Trevino. Because that was the crime he had been convicted for, was killing his boyfriend.
Well, it was killing his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend, I thought.
No, Alfredo Bally Trevino.
Oh, I think you just said lover and I assumed.
No, he simply killed, his lover was a guy. And he killed him.
Okay.
Jesus Rangel or whatever. I'm not going to scroll.
You said ex-boyfriend, and I must have been like, oh, girlfriend's ex-boyfriend or something like that.
No.
That's my biases.
We all gay. Don't worry about it. That's why the dragons. That's why the dragon's so caked up.
Mom, Dad, I'm not gay. I'm just into dragons, okay?
That's so much worse.
Yeah. Bray, who has like a dragon profile pic in our... on our server,
yeah,
you must
notice.
Be sweating you... through this one, man. Like getting so.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're on notice, bro.
Yeah.
Treat me like one of your horses and blow me up with an iPhone or something.
That's a
specific joke for the Discord. So.
Yeah. Okay.
So James Gum or Buffalo Bill was at some point in his past declared to be too mentally unstable to have a gender reassignment surgery, so he turned to making himself a suit out of abducted women and who he would obviously like murder and then harvest like parts of their skin off of based on like what he would want.
He goes for thicker women too because he doesn't like that tight fit, you know. He wants
no he does
oh he does
That's absolutely a plot point.
Yeah.
So he would abduct heavier girls, starve them so that they were easier to harvest off of.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Buffalo Bill in this concept, or James Gum, takes inspiration as well from Ed Gein, who we've talked about in the past. He's also the guy who inspired the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like a million other fucking villains.
Our Kirby episode actually is about this movie. I forgot.
The artwork is based on Buffalo Bill.
Speaking of which, so I will get into our artwork in a moment here, because we do have Kirby as Buffalo Bill. But Gein both dug up corpses and killed women to harvest their skins. He made lampshades and wind chimes and other trinkets and shit. And he also made something that is just like referred to as a mammary vest, which is just like a human skin vest with tits on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah,
he knew a hot topic, right?
Yeah. he had apparently been seen on his property dancing around at night, wearing a woman suit that he had made himself out of corpses and people that he had killed. And in reference to our art that we were talking about here is because the Luigi's Mansion artwork that we have for that episode is two police officer boos.
That's
in,
right. Is
a horrible crime scene. I looked up crime scene photos from Ed Gein's house to do that artwork.
I'm looking at them now. Yeah. Oh my god.
The outfits that they were wearing, the bed frame with no mattress, and the slimy, kind of greasy boxes everywhere with the lampshade are all from photos within Ed Gein's house. So I looked up that shit to make it more authentic.
You get a nipple belt too.
Yeah.
That's
the nipple belt near that's the Les Bible belt, if you know what I mean.
The nipple belt. The Bible belt. Yeah, San Francisco is the nipple belt.
The nipple belt here.
In both the film and in the novel, Buffalo Bill's final abductee was Catherine Martin. She's the daughter of the U.S. Senator Ruth Martin. Ricky Martin, of course. Yep, never mind. U.S. Senator Ricky Martin. He kept her in a dungeon with the intent, like I said, of starving her for a few days so that she could lose a couple of pounds and be easier to harvest skin from. So that's why Buffalo Bill's into that.
Yeah.
In both the film and in the novel, Hannibal gives Clarice and others fake names instead of Buffalo Bill's real name, because of course Hannibal was the psychiatrist of James Gums's lover, right?
Okay, yeah.
And he switches that up. In the novel, he gives the name William or Billy Rubin. Where in the film, he gives the name Lewis Friend. Billy Rubin is a color in human bile that makes poop brown, which is why he gave that fake one. And then Lewis Friend is an anagram for iron sulfide or fool's gold.
Billy?
So it's Billy Rubin. I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not a doctor.
Billy Rubin.
Did you know that most, I don't know what this is, but I did know that most of what makes poop brown is red blood cells.
Dead blood, yeah.
Mm. Oh, so we're all shitting blood. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. Stop worrying about it.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get it checked out.
Apparently, if you have...
Unless you want a serial killer to stick a finger up your butt, you know?
That'd be great. Yeah, don't do that.
If you have really dark black stool, it's like sign of internal bleeding, up the tract. Higher. So if you have really, really dark poops for a long time, definitely check that out. But if you have brown poops... Normal
hemorrhoids, it's very common to see bright red, bright, bright red blood in your stool.
Oh, man.
I'm so glad I have never had a reason to understand anything you two are talking about right now.
There's a lot of browns and reds in the dragon, actually. You could probably do a repainting of it with the different shades of
blood. Yeah, somebody get Andy Warhol on the phone. We have a $1 million idea, goddammit.
Move that soup out of the way. I got a better idea, idiot.
No, wait. Drink a lot of soup, would you?
So after giving out these fake names, the movie kind of fucks up the timeline. So the film Silence of the Lambs, because Hannibal states at some point when he is talking to the senator herself, Ruth Martin, that at some point in 1980, he had been talking to James Gum's lover as a client. However, Red Dragon is set in 1975, and then the bulk of the novel takes place in 1980. So it just moves it into the future. I think Silence of the Lambs itself came out like 1991 or something like that. So they just kind of shifted dates. Giving up these fake names allows Hannibal to be transferred from Baltimore to a like nicer facility because he had made a deal and then just gave up shitty information. And en route is where he escapes captivity. So this is where you're talking about the elevator scene there, Jamie.
Right.
He kills his guards and he steals one of their faces so that he can then be put in an ambulance, and then he steals that ambulance after taking off the guy's face.
Yeah, so, that's like pretty clever the way that he did it. He made it look like there was a dead body that was him, but it was really the guy, and like the face was all fucked up, so it looked like they got him. He was killed and they were trying to save the officer, which was really him all along, the old switcheroo.
Exactly. So Clarice, too smart after figuring out the iron sulfide thing, follows the lead regarding one of Buffalo Bill's first victims, which is a woman named Frederica Bimmel. She goes to Bimmel's old house to meet the new owner. And when she does, she notices an adult death's head moth is like flying around in the house.
Curious.
Because the new owner, of course, is James Gum. He escapes into the basement and is eventually shot and killed by Clarice. Catherine Martin is rescued, and Hannibal writes to Clarice to congratulate her and thank her for being so polite. In the film, he calls her on the phone because it's just, like, I guess, better for cinema.
He's in, like, Mexico chasing after his old doctor or something like that.
He is in Florence, actually. He goes to Italy. And, yes, he does set off to stalk Dr. Chilton, who does eventually disappear.
He's in Italy. I thought he'd be in Normal.
Just Norway. So that's Hannibal. That's kind of the lore and the kind of real life people that inspired Dr. Hannibal Lecter, at least for the first two novels out of the four. So I have been your spooky host, Peter O'Donohue. You can find my work at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram, and you can see my face at Meltdown in Montreal on October 24th, 2021, at 4 in the afternoon, and then later. And then following that, on twitch.tv/theloreboys at some point. We'll be doing at least, 8, 12 hours or some shit like that. Yeah, exactly.
We'll figure it out. We'll do it as long as we want to do it, and you guys will tune in whenever you want to tune in. That's the deal. That's the pact.
Donate to charity. That's the important part.
One-way consent, and that's the pact, baby.
fellas. Please.
Jamie, hit us. What do you got? Huh? What's going on in your life?
Just get in the Discord, guys. That's where we hang out the most. We got a bunch of new people lately. We've got, for example, I think his name was Jesse, who's like giving all great fitness advice in our Fit Boys channel. I won't need
Jesse 3.
Yeah. I won't need it since I am a lazy fuck, but if you guys want some, you can get it.
Jamie's keeping his skin tight so that serial killers don't steal it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's a strategy.
It's so hard to get it off.
So hard, Jamie. So hard to get it off, and that's all for me. Ethan, where can I get you?
Thanks for listening, everybody. Like Jamie says, join the Discord. There should be a link in the description of this episode. If it's not working, you can always go to loreboys.com/about, where you can find links to all our socials, including the Discord. Discord is by far our most active one. So active, indeed, that we have some spam links going in today. We're working on fixing that. But we're dumb and don't know how, really.
I was up at 4:30 a.m. doing mod shit. Luckily, I woke up real early. But
So far, so okay, as the Discord goes.
Exactly, a lot of lovely people, a lot of cool conversations. Like Jamie says, there's different communities kind of building in that one community. We'd love to have you be a part of it, even if you want to just be a fly on a wall. Occasionally chime in. Everybody's welcome. You can also support us on Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. Thank you so much to all our patrons. Just ones online I see right now: Darnell, Darkside, Fragile, Mr. Wednesday, Saucy, Walker TCH, William, all of you online in the Discord right now. Amazing. You guys rock. And thank you. Anybody who wants to be part of that illustrious list of names up in lights, go to patreon.com/loreboys. Anybody who doesn't trust them, of course, and wants, you know, one of the things that we give away on this show whenever we do Loreboys Prime, like a turkey in a buckle hat or a nipple belt, something like that, a Jack in the Box stuff with various meats. We do have a Loreboys Prime, of course. And we are having a competition to see the prettiest city in the nipple belt. So it's a sweepstake this year. If you want to elect your town or city and explain why, I don't know, name me a city in Connecticut deserves to be the crowning jewel of the nipple belt, then Bison, let me know.
Please do.
I'm sure we have some real runners out there, some real contenders for the nippliest city, I guess we could say. And we want to hear from you guys. So make sure to send those in and we'll give you one of the various things I said before. A shirt made out of human skin that says Bazinga on it, you know?
Yeah. Very cool. And just a sash that says the perkiest mayor. For
or like, is it cold in here or am I the mayor?
Or maybe a shirt that says like thanks for the mammaries or something like that.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Okay. Yeah, like various boomer t-shirts made out of human skin. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
But we want to hear your guys' ideas, so make sure to crunch at us with them and we'll put them on a piece of corn somewhere. That would constitute a Loreboys.
Loreboys.
Out.
My name is James, and my favorite type of sandwich is... I like meatballs, actually. I have meatballs on the stove at the moment. How about you guys?
Hi, my name's Ethan. I like that Subway has declared 11 inches a foot long, because that makes me slightly over half a foot long.
My name is Peter, and for the exact same reason as Ethan, back when I used to work at Subway, I actually implemented that policy.
Yeah, a foot 6 inches now. Okay.
Get rid of the old imperial system. No metric system. No imperial system. We're Subway bread system. We called it the Jared system, but obviously got rid of that name.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.